The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have moved the body of our Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Simon Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and he bent down to look in, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went right into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that was covering Jesus's head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who reached the tomb first, he also went in. And he saw, and he believed. For as of yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." As she said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned. She said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said all these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and I'm going to ask those families with children present to go ahead and unmute their microphone for the children's message. Just another note, as you guys are doing that, if I tend to look this direction, it's because we have two monitors up here, and I like to see who is actually online. So to get ready for our children's sermon, I need to grab the box that's underneath. I hear some right now, so hold on. I'm going to grab what we've got down here.
What is it?
All right. Okay.
Bye.
All right. So. Remember the box? Oh, are you guys?
You got something on your hair.
You like my hair?
You were a girl. You're super silly.
Yeah. You weren't expecting it.
He looks like a girl.
Do I really? Even with the beard, I look like a girl?
Yes.
Well, yeah, right.
Oh, he looks like from the 80s.
I am from the 80s, believe it or not. Okay. So the hair wasn't what you were expecting, right?
No,
so we can take that off. We'll lay that over there. It's not like I got much hair to mess up. So remember at the beginning of Lent, what we did with the letters to the Hallelujah?
Yeah, we put it in the box.
We put them in the box, right? Ready? Let's get them out. Wait a minute. That's totally unexpected too. Where did the letters go? Do you see the letters?
I see it. I see Jesus.
Do you see the letters behind me?
Thanks.
Can you see them back there?
Yeah.
Oh. How did that was
totally unexpected, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just like my hair. And just like the letters not being there, right? And it was totally unexpected when the disciples and Mary showed up to the tomb and Jesus wasn't there. But where was Jesus?
Jesus.
Alive.
Alive. That's right. He was alive and with us still today. Right? And that is what we remember on Easter morning, is that Jesus is alive. And Jesus is with us all the time. Right?
No.
Can you guys pray with me? Shall we pray? Dear God, you are so awesome and we love you. We thank you for the unexpected, that when we think one thing, you might show us another. Thank you for your love in all that we do. Help us to share that other with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you real quick, families, if you would mute your One of my most fond memories of my early ministry was visiting with the kids of Little Saints daycare and pre-K. We would always have chapel on Thursday mornings, and the chapel on Thursday before Easter, we'd always have conversations about what Easter means. And I always wanted to get their thoughts of what the children thought. One particular year, I had this conversation with a girl, and I'll change her name to Sammy. And I said, "Sammy, how are you doing today?" She goes, "Miss Pastor Randy, I'm doing fine." Now, they called me Miss Pastor Randy because everybody else was like Miss Jen or Miss LaDonna or Miss Chloe. So it only kind of fit that they would say Miss Pastor Randy. She said, "Miss Pastor Randy, will the Easter Bunny bring me jelly beans this year?" And I said, "Sure, Sammy, I'm sure that the Easter Bunny will bring you jelly beans. But remember, Easter is more about Jesus than it is about candy." She looks at me and she says, "Will there be pink jelly beans, Pastor Randy?" I said, "Sammy, I'm sure that the Easter Bunny will bring you many different colors of jelly beans. Probably some of them will be pink. But let's remember that the empty tomb signifies that Jesus is always with us at Easter. Miss Pastor Randy, how many pink jelly beans will the Easter Bunny bring me?" "Sammy, I think the Easter Bunny will bring you plenty of pink jelly beans. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? Miss Pastor Randy? Yes, Sammy. Will he bring me gummy bears too? Pink jelly beans and gummy bears are fun for the children. And I guess fun is enough for children when it comes to understanding Easter for now, for understanding what that empty tomb means for now. Yet I wonder when Sammy will need a better understanding of what that empty tomb means and what the true meaning of Easter is. Will it be when she's bullied at school and feels like there's no one to turn to? Will it be when she's betrayed by a so-called best friend and has her heart broken by someone? Perhaps one day she'll look in the mirror and actually admit to herself that she's the bully, that she has been the one who has betrayed someone. And as she gazed into that mirror, not sure how to keep looking. Maybe she'll be on a mission trip one day and meet people who have none of the things that she has or the possessions that she possesses, but still have a joy within them. And it'll make her reprioritize her life. Maybe it'll be when she's told by a doctor that her cough is much worse than a cold. Maybe she will be spoon-feeding a frail, beloved mother who used to feed her and with a strong back take her for piggyback rides. And that sense of powerless might overtake her. Or will it be the day when her life's work is rudely interrupted by a memo that she needs to clear out her desk? Or it will be in, or will it be in the middle of a night during a family crisis when she's looking into the desperate eyes of her own child and realizes she doesn't really know him, or worse yet, he really doesn't want to know her? Maybe it will be when she encounters a pandemic and she's forced into her home feeling isolated and frustrated because her life is uncontrollably changed. Fear of the unknown fills her head as a life transition is spilled into her day-to-day living. I bet then she will need more than fun and jelly beans. And you and I both know, perhaps all too well, that those days happen. We're in the middle of it right now. And that's when Sammy will really need to know what Easter is about. It's why we need to know what this empty tomb is about. You know, in our last text study here in town, we still meet via Zoom. One of the pastors in the area, now serving an Episcopal church, Gretchen Fries, came up with a statement, empty tomb, empty church. The tomb is empty like our churches are empty. And that statement keeps replaying in my mind, and that's why it's the title of the sermon, empty tomb, empty church. When Mary and Peter and the other disciple find the tomb empty, they're taken back. They mourn that Jesus is dead. And now his body is stolen. As if things were not already bad enough, now they are actually worse. As they mourn the empty tomb, only seeing that their teacher, and dare I say, lover, not in the romantic sense of the word, but in the agape, unconditional sense of the word, has been stolen. And all they are left with is an empty tomb, empty linen wrappings, and a bewilderment of what to do next. We find ourselves mourning the empty church with empty pews, no handshakes by friends welcoming, or welcoming greeters for that matter, or smiling ushers, no busy staff rushing around. Well, we do have staff and we are somewhat rushing around, but you can't witness that or see the bewilderment on the new pastor's face prior to worship. We are mourning the empty church. John is a genius as he writes this account of the resurrection story. He could have simply said, Mary, Peter, and the other disciple, they went to the grave, they didn't see the body. Jesus shows himself to Mary again. She goes back and tells everybody about it. We're done. But John goes into detail on how each react. The disciple that loved Jesus gets there first, but he's afraid to go in. Eventually he does, and when he sees the linen wrappings void of a body, he believes. Now Peter, slow to arrive, but not thinking, runs right into the tomb, typical Peter, sees everything, doesn't make any statement on belief, maybe still tossing the idea around in his head, but returns home. Actually, they both return home. Mary's the first one to see it, the last one to go in. She felt that Easter morning, the darkness, the cold, the sadness of that morning. No light and nothing to look forward to. The life that she planned was over, and now she would need to begin a new journey. I see the similarities as we witness the empty church. How will we continue with an empty church building? How will we worship? How will the body of Christ gather in this COVID-19 void of human contact? How will God's work continue? Just as the disciples witnessed the empty tomb and wonder, how will their teacher's presence continue? How will their lover's mission continue without him? That's the thought we always have when death is upon us. Some of us are eager to retreat to our homes. Some of us need to see certain things in order to believe God is at work. Some of us need to hear our names called in a heavenly discussion in order to remember God is still with us. When death, the inevitable doorway we all will experience, comes, God is there, promising a new life and a new way. God comes and God's promises are fulfilled. As we experience death of the church, we see it as an empty building. God will do a new thing. It is the basis of our faith. As things live and die, God, as the creator, will bring new life in a new way. We think that this coronavirus has stolen our church, but in reality, God is doing something new, and God is keeping God's promise. God didn't cause the coronavirus to come upon us, but just like the other side of the empty tomb, God creates life on the other side of COVID-19. The vacant church is still alive, though it doesn't look as it has in the past, and it definitely doesn't look like we thought it would. It definitely doesn't look like we want it to. But just as Mary and the disciples looked at the vacant tomb, we see the vacant church. But what is God doing? God is creating new skills, new ways for the church to be alive. We have been witnessing a decline of the church for decades, wondering what would happen to it in the future. Now we can see a glimpse. Now we can see the church is more than just brick and mortar, more than pictures on the walls, more than the beautiful music instruments, more than the beautiful stained glass windows. It is the church, the people who are blessed and filled with the Holy Spirit. You are the church. We are the church. We are learning to gather in new ways, via Zoom, Facebook, YouTube, whatever technology is out there. And we would never have dreamed to do this if we didn't have to. Just a short time ago, this was the farthest thing from anybody's mind. The church exists every time we check in on one another. The church exists as we are coming together in different ways, using pints of every sort, whether they are pints of beverages or ice cream or even the half-sized ones. When death comes, and it comes more than what we think it does, God is there. Every transition in our life is a death of a relationship or a job or a home or a family member or a friend. A transition forced by a pandemic, detaining us from our church and keeping us from gathering. Yet, God is there to pick up the shattered earthly expectations and showing us how to put them back together again into something new. Thanks to God, when death is knocking at our door, we know death does not have the final answer, but God does. Love does. And that's what we celebrate today. Once more, I am reminded of a famous theologian who said, resurrection only happens with dead people. And I'm going to add, or dead things. In the presence of the grave, God meets us and calls our name, and we have a heavenly conversation. And our response as a called child of God is to do the same as Mary did. Go out and announce you have seen the Lord in all things. Just as Mary hears her name spoken by Jesus and then returns to the disciples and announces she has seen the Lord and tells them all that he had said, we ought to do the same. And this is a reminder to all them people that if it wasn't for Mary, the first apostle, to all the apostles, we would have no idea this happened. There in the darkness of Mary's life, she was surprised by the light of Easter and the story that Jesus told her to share. God has conquered the grave. That story has become the Christian story. Wherever death is near, God is closer. It is the story we remember and celebrate together in worship today. It's the single most important reason we ever get together on any Sunday or any day of the week, for that matter. It is the hope to which we cling and the promise upon which we stand. It is the very essence of the Christian faith. The empty tomb at Easter assures us that eternal, abundant life not only goes on forever, but is here with us right now. Right now. That is what Easter and the empty tomb is all about. In death, there is life. Life to reach out to the neighbor at a safe distance. Life to find our passion and to use it to bring joy to the world. Life to preach the gospel without saying a word. Life to risk all you have in order to live in hope and making Christ's love real in our daily lives. Amen.